Hello, and welcome to this half hour with Rallets Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rallets, and I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program, maybe at 11 a.m. for our worship service, or maybe you could come join us at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays for our weekly Bible study. We are looking to impact our community. We're looking to impact those around us, and not only that, but we have a great emphasis on missions, and we want to definitely impact those who have never heard about the gospel, and we want to definitely as from our faith family here at Rallets unto you, we want you to know we're praying for you and we're pulling in the same direction. We certainly hope that God is blessing you and watching over you. I certainly hope that you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and where that you can have someone to always talk to, always have a friend beside you, and not only that, but someone to challenge you. We all need to be challenged in life. I want to take just a moment, if I could, and wish happy birthday tomorrow to Miss Angie Meredith. Happy birthday, Angie. Also, over the coming course of next week, on Tuesday the 10th, we have three that are celebrating birthdays. Jean Hemingway, Connie Metter, and Mary Ann Steele. So we thank God for all these fine ladies. There's four fine ladies that are having birthdays over the next week. Also, happy anniversary to David and Debbie Barber on Saturday the 7th, and happy anniversary to Harold and Barbara Winstead on Sunday the 8th. And so we appreciate them so much and love them very much. And I want to share with you something that I love to talk about. That is prayer. If you are where you can, let's open our Bibles up to the Luke chapter 18, the book of Luke chapter 18. Now, this is something that we need to understand is a teaching, and Christ is the most wonderful teacher that has ever blessed anyone with being able to hear Him or read His words, and I thank God that we have that opportunity right here. The Bible says, then He spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now, there was a widow in that city, and she came to Him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And He would not for a while, but afterward He said within Himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge His own elect who cry out day and night to Him, though He bears long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth? I thought about a young man who went into a drugstore to buy three boxes of chocolate. Small box, a large box, and a medium box. When the pharmacist asked him about the three boxes, he said, I'm going to my new girlfriend's house for supper. And then we're going out to the movie show. And if she'll let me hold her hand, I'm going to give her the small box. And if she lets me kiss her on the cheek, I'm going to give her the medium box. But if she really lets me give her a big smooch, I'm going to give her the big box. And he paid for his chocolates and he left. Well, that evening, as he sat down at dinner with his girlfriend's family, he asked if he could say the prayer before the meal. And that boy, I tell you folks, he began to pray. He prayed earnest. He prayed intense. He cried out to the Lord. He began to beat on the table and just, quote scripture. He was really got caught up in the moment and really prayed in earnest prayer and lasted for almost 10 minutes. And when he finished, their girlfriend looked over him and said, you know, you never told me you were such a religious person. And he said, yeah, and you never told me your daddy was the pharmacist. It's a good thing to pray. Whatever the circumstances, it's a good thing to pray. Now, according to many public opinion polls, prayer is very important to most Americans. In 2000, the Gallup organization found 90% of Americans say they pray. 86% said they believed in God. Isn't it interesting more people pray than claim to believe in God? 83% said they favor prayer at a graduation. 70% favor prayer by Christians spoken in school. Now, the thing about this is, Jesus was sharing a parable about prayer. A parable is a teaching. And then Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them they should always pray and not give up. You don't have to wonder about the meaning of this parable because the interpretation is in the first verse. You see, God cares for men. And the story begins with a widow who had an adversary. And he was trying to take advantage of her. It's likely someone was trying to cheat her out of money or land that her husband left her. This was prevalent in Bible times because women had few legal rights. In the wonderful Old Testament story of Ruth, she and Naomi returned to Bethlehem as widows. They had no legal right to claim the land that had belonged to their husbands. Fortunately, Boaz married Ruth and became her kinsman redeemer. In Jesus' parable, this widow not only had the hurdle of being female, she faced a terrible judge. He didn't have any fear of God, nor did he care about what the other people thought of him. He was probably a Gentile judge designated by the Roman authorities. And judgeships were sold and bought, and a judge could make a good living from the bribes that were common. Our widow had no money to bribe this wicked judge, so her only recourse was to come before him repeatedly crying, "Grant me justice! Grant me justice against my adversary!" He dismissed her claim. But she kept coming back, constantly begging him for justice. He must have thought, oh no, not her again. In verse 5, he admits that she bothered him. The word translated bothering, it can mean literally to poke in the eye. He was upset because she was constantly in his face. This constant begging and nagging finally paid off and he ruled in her favor. Now there are at least three important principles Jesus taught in this parable. First of all, don't worry, pray. Don't worry, pray. In the parable, the widow didn't sit at home wringing her hands about the problem. Instead of worrying, she got up and approached the only person who could help her, the judge. In verse 1, Jesus said, "We ought always to pray and not give up." The NASB says, "Pray and do not lose heart." The Greek word translated give up is ekantondo. It literally means to be filled with bad thoughts. Worry is filling your mind with bad thoughts of the worst that could happen. Worry is like water. It begins as a trickle of doubt and creeps into your mind. And if it isn't stopped, it soon becomes a stream of fear, which creates a pond of paranoia, which overflows into a river of distress, which develops into a raging torrent of tension. And before you know it, the flood of worry has carved a grand canyon of anxiety in your mind. William Ward wrote this story about worry. It says, "Worry is faith in the negative, trust in the unpleasant, assurance of disaster, and belief in defeat. Worry is a magnet that attracts negative circumstances. Worry is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but you never go anywhere." The Apostle Paul was stuck in a Roman dungeon, facing the possibility of having his head took off. Instead of worrying about dying, he prayed. And in addition to praying, he wrote some letters to encourage Christians to pray instead of worrying. Listen to his words found in Philippians chapter 4. Remember, these words were penned by a man sitting in a damp, dark, depressing dungeon. "Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worry into prayers. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down." When you face a challenging circumstance, you have two choices. You can lose heart and let worrisome thoughts control your mind, or you can pray about it. You should pray and not worry because the God of the Bible loves you and cares for you. I recently read an interesting testimony from a Christian man who owned a construction company. He was losing sleep worrying about some financial problems he faced in his company. One morning after another night filled with worry, he opened his Bible and devotional. And that morning he was reading from Matthew chapter 6 where Jesus commanded his followers not to worry. Jesus said, "Consider the sparrows. They don't plant or harvest or store in barns, but your heavenly Father takes care of them, and you are much more valuable than the sparrows." Then his devotional spoke about how God cares for the birds so much. When a single sparrow falls dead to the earth, God is aware and God cares. And the verse at the end was 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast your cares upon Him. Why? For He cares for you. Well, a few days earlier on the job site, they'd been removing trees, and the owner had noticed one of the trees had a bird nest with baby birds in it. He marked the tree and left word not to cut it down. But on this day, he realized he would have to come down because they couldn't delay the project any longer. So the owner used a bucket truck and got lifted up to the bird's nest, and when he looked in, the birds were gone. They'd learned to fly. Since he was up there anyway, he removed the nest. You know, birds use all kinds of scraps to make a nest. And as he examined this nest, he discovered the birds had used straw, twigs, and little strips of paper to make the nest. He removed one sliver of paper, and what he read almost caused him to fall out of the bucket. Written on a fragment of those paper was the words, God cares for you. He realized that God was using that bird nest to reinforce His message. Today, the man's business is doing well, and he prays more and worries less. And that keeps bird's nest in his office. The second thing we need to learn, instead of worrying, pray was the first one. Secondly, don't quit, but pray persistently. In the parable, the poor widow kept on begging the judge to grant her justice. She didn't just ask once and say, let me know what you decide. She peppered his ears with persistent petitions. Have you ever asked God for something and when He didn't answer your prayer immediately, you quit praying? Friend, listen to me. That's a big mistake. The most effective prayers in the Bible are those who were prayed persistently. In Psalm 55, David wrote, I call to God and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress and He hears my voice. David wasn't one of those one-a-day vitamin prayers. He was an all-day prayer. In the Old Testament, Hannah desperately wanted a child. For many years, she prayed and prayed to have that child, and her prayer was unanswered for years, but she didn't say, well, it must be God's will for me not to have a child. She kept on praying, and eventually God gave her a son, and that son grew up to be Samuel, one of the mightiest prophets in all of the Old Testament. Friend, listen to me. Even Jesus prayed persistently on the night before the crucifixion. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane pouring out His heart to His Father. His prayer burden was so intense that there were drops of blood like sweat on His forehead. He prayed, Father, take this cup from me, but not my will be yours. Yours be done. He prayed it again and again, three times. He prayed out to His Father, and His Father heard him and gave him the strength and the resolve to face the cross. Paul had some kind of a painful affliction he called a thorn in the flesh. He begged the Lord to remove the pain. He asked not once, not twice, but three times before the Lord answered. And when God answered, it wasn't the answer Paul was wanting. God didn't take away the thorn. Instead, He gave him the grace to cope with the pain. So Paul began to give God glory in the midst of his pain. Persistence, friends, is an important factor in prayer. But persistence is a valuable commodity for every area of your Christian life, not just prayer. God blesses those who persist, who do not give up. So whatever you may be facing right now, don't give up. If you're ever tempted to give up, just remember the composer, Brahms. You remember Brahms? It took him 7 long years to write his most famous lullaby. I guess because he kept falling asleep. I don't know. But one of the largest organizations in America is an organization called the Quitters Club. Now, the reason you never heard of the Quitters Club is because they never meet. The members quit coming. There are no dues. The members quit paying them. The Quitters Club is comprised of people who faced a tough job, a tough marriage, a tough sickness, or a tough failure, and they quit. And when the going gets tough, friends, you remember, the tough need to get going. Oh me, when the going gets tough, quitters get going away. That's what we need in America and in the church are people who will exhibit good old-fashioned stick-to-itiveness. That's probably not even a word, but I believe it needs to be. God has always honored persistence. Even the best of people get knocked down in life. But what sets them apart from the quitters is that they get right back up. Life is full of adversaries who will try to tackle you. You'll face difficult circumstances that trip your feet out from under you. And the poor widow in Jesus' parable had been knocked flat, but she refused to stay down. She got up and persistently made her request to the judge. "You have an adversary who opposes you on every hand. The devil, old Satan, doesn't want you to pray. And he'll do everything he can to make you stop praying." One of the greatest men of faith in Christian history was an English preacher named George Mueller. He wrote these words about praying. "The great point is never to give up until the answer comes. I have been praying for 63 years and 8 months for one man's conversion. He is not saved yet, but he will be. How can it be otherwise? I'm praying." George Mueller died, and the man was still not saved. But as they lowered Mueller's casket into the ground, that man was touched by the Holy Spirit, and he repented of his sins and trusted Jesus as his Savior. Never give up. Never give up. Thirdly, don't doubt. Pray positively. Pray positively. In this parable, we're represented by the widow. She didn't worry, and she was persistent in her requests. But is God like that crooked judge? Does he have to be pestered and coerced before he will answer your prayers? No, not at all. Parables not only contain comparisons, but contrasts as well. Jesus used the mean judge as the opposite example of our loving Heavenly Father. He said, "And will not God bring justice to His chosen? Will He not answer their prayers quickly?" Listen, you must expect God to answer your prayers. If you doubt that you'll receive an answer, chances are you won't. In James chapter 1, we're told when we pray for wisdom, God will give it to us generously. Then James adds a powerful warning about letting doubt creep into your prayers. He writes, "But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind, that man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord." Now compare that to the positive promise we find in 1 John chapter 5. "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him." The difference is learning to pray positively without doubting. Now sadly, many Christians pray, but they really don't expect an answer. I heard about a Sunday school teacher who had her children write letters to a missionary they'd been praying for. The teacher explained the missionary was very busy and wouldn't have time to send a reply to every child, so they shouldn't expect to hear back from him. One little boy wrote this letter, "Dear Mr. Smith, I am praying for you. I am not expecting an answer." Are you like that? You pray, but you don't really expect an answer. I've known people who have quit praying because they didn't seem to get an answer. If I walk into a room and I flip the light switch, I expect the light to come on. If it doesn't, I don't curse Thomas Edison or say electricity is a lie. I start looking for the problem. Maybe the light bulb is burned out, or a breaker's been thrown, or the power is out. If it seems your prayers aren't answered, don't quit praying. Start looking for the reason. It may be the wrong request, or you may have unconfessed sin in your life, or the timing may not be right, but God always answers prayer. He answers prayer in different ways. You see, first of all, God may answer your prayer quickly. Jesus used the word quickly in verse 8 to describe how God answers prayers. The word quickly is a relative term. If someone was injured, I would say, "Call 911, quick." But if a couple gets married only 4 months after they first met, I might say they got married quickly. The word Jesus uses means suddenly. Your prayers may seem unanswered for years, and then boom, God suddenly gives the answer. I heard about a lady who was rushing to the mall to buy something. It was pouring rain. She didn't have an umbrella. And as she drove into the parking lot, she said, "Please, please, Lord, let me find a good parking place near the front of the door." Just as she said those words, she saw the backup lights of a car as it backed out of the best parking place in the entire lot. Then she said, "Never mind, Lord, I found one myself." What a joke. God answered her prayer so quickly she didn't have time to understand that it was God at work. Friends, let's not do that. Let's not attribute anything to our own selves. Let's remember that God is sovereign in our lives and that He has a plan and a purpose that's being worked out in His own timing. Now, God may answer your prayer later. My next statement may confuse you, so I wrote it down. I'm going to read it carefully. Here we go. God always answers prayers immediately, but sometimes it is later. When your prayer is heard in heaven, God acts on the request immediately, but it may take a while before you get your answer, or His answer. An example of this can be found in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel prayed and the angel Gabriel was dispatched to give Daniel his answer. Gabriel reported Daniel's prayer had been heard and answered immediately, but the prince of Persia, or a demonic spirit, maybe Satan himself, resisted Gabriel in delivering God's answer. The archangel Michael had to fight against the prince of Persia so Daniel could get his answer. During the delay, Daniel hadn't stopped praying. So if it seems God hasn't answered your prayer yet, don't quit. The answer could be just around the corner. God's delays are not God's denials. Our sense of timing is flawed, but God's timing is impeccable. So pray persistently and then wait patiently for His answer. A third thing is God may answer your prayer better. Better. Sometimes you don't get what you ask for because God has something better in store for you. Ruth Bell Graham, the wife of Billy Graham, once said, "If God answered every prayer of mine, I would have married the wrong man 7 times. I had a friend growing up who had the ugliest bicycle I've ever seen. It was a hand-me-down made from parts of other bicycles, and it was so ugly, it didn't have no handlebar grips. And he was always complaining his hands would slip off them handlebars when he tried to pop a wheelie, and he pestered his daddy to buy him some handlebar grips, but his dad kept refusing him. One day, his dad took him to the Western Auto, and near the front door, there were some new handlebar grips for sale. They were plastic and had the long streamers hanging down from the ends. Many of you know what I'm talking about. And he said, "Daddy, Daddy, I've just got to have these handlebar grips. Please, Daddy, would you get them for me?" And his dad looked at him and said, "No, son, you don't need those grips. Now come with me to the back of this store." And he followed his dad, and my friend was bitter and frustrated, looking down his feet, kicking along on the floor, and under his breath he was muttering, "I never get anything, and them were cheap, my dad's mean." And just as he got to the back of the store, the owner wheeled out a shiny, brand new bicycle, complete with plastic handlebar streamers on the grips. My friend's dad said, "Here, son, it's an early birthday present. I wouldn't buy you any handlebar grips because I ordered you this new bicycle." Sometimes when you ask God for something, He has something better in store for you. Sometimes God may answer no. Sometimes you ask God for something, His answer is simply no, but that's still an answer to prayer. Don't ever stop praying until you hear God say no. At that point, stop making that request and start praying in a different way. C.S. Lewis wrote, "Prayer is request. The essence of a request is distinct from a demand, is that it may or may not be granted. And an infinitely wise being listens to the requests of a finite and foolish creature. Of course, he will sometimes grant them and sometimes refuse them. If God had granted all the silly prayers I've made in my life, where would I be now?" Our praying should be like the story of Jacob wrestling the angel in Genesis 32. They wrestled all night, and toward morning, Jacob had the angel in a full Nelson grip. "Jacob," the angel said, "let me go." Now, that mighty angel could have tossed Jacob off in a heartbeat, but God was teaching Jacob and us a valuable lesson about the prayer of a persistent, tenacious prayer. Imagine Jacob hanging on to that angel. He said, "I won't let you go until you bless me." So the angel said, "Okay. Your name has been Jacob, which means grabber. From now on, you will be named Israel, which means Prince of God." What a great prayer lesson. Have you ever grabbed onto God in prayer and begged Him, saying, "I'm not going to quit praying until you answer me"? What's God trying to say to you personally? Are you consumed with worry and anxiety? Pray. Have you stopped praying about a need in your life? Start again. Are you considering quitting in some area where God has placed you? Don't you quit. You keep on praying persistently. Are you filled with doubt about prayer? Start praying positively. Expect God to answer. Every time you walk through a door, I want you to remind yourself, it may be the one that God just opened. Will you bow with me for a moment of prayer? Father God, we come to You now thanking You, dear Lord, that You hear our prayers. And that, dear God, You take concern with those that You love. And that, Father, our petitions are important to You. And Father, I pray that You might give us the courage and the bravery to continue to pray persistently and positively. And that we might not ever give up, dear Father. We might not ever quit. Thank You, dear Jesus. And in Your name we pray. Amen. God bless you, friend, from Raleigh's Baptist Church.